Joining us now live is Utah Congressman Chris Stewart. Thank you for your time this morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
You begin this new Congress in control of both the House and the Senate. What are your goals as you look to the new year?
Oh, there's so much that we want to do. I mean, there's such a hunger, not only in Congress, but really throughout the country for really meaningful change. I've said to a lot of people, I think this is analogous to 1980 with Ronald Reagan. I just think we're going to have tax reform. We're going to have significant regulatory reform where we pull back the regulators in Washington who've made it so difficult for businessmen. We're going to see important steps towards rebuilding our military, rebuilding our status and respect in the world. I'm so excited to be back here and get engaged in this work.
I know, Congressman, that some of the Democrats have said that they're already preparing to put up roadblocks to try to prevent at least 8 is the number I'm seeing floating around of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominations. What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, we're not surprised. It happens all the time, but it's ironic that these are the same Democrats who, you know, criticize Republicans when they voiced objections. But again, that's politics, and I frankly think it's silly. The American people want us to do some things, and I think any president deserves to fill his cabinet with people that he's comfortable working with and that he thinks will help him achieve those goals. Ironically, as well, it was the Democrats who eliminated the filibuster rule on presidential appointments, so they're not going to be able to stop them. They're going to object, and they're going to try to vilify some of these guys. But by and large, the president's going to be able to fill his cabinets with the people that he selected.
What about this that we're hearing this morning, Congressman, about the moving of ethics oversight in the House? Should we be concerned about this?
You know, we talked about this last night when this rule was voted on, and one of the things that people were concerned about was that the story, the news narrative, was going to be that Republicans wanted to get the ethics process, and that's just simply not the case. But this ethics panel has been so abusive. I mean, people can make anonymous accusations. They don't have to reveal themselves. They don't have to defend the accusations they make. And it puts people in positions where they'll spend $50,000 or $100,000 defending themselves against something that was entirely fabricated. It creates huge news stories back home, and then when they're found, when they're exonerated, no one notices that. And all we're asking is that there be some accountability. If someone's going to make an accusation, to be able to stand up and say, look, this is what I saw, and here's the evidence I have, rather than to be able to do it anonymously, that seems like a reasonable thing to do.
As a member of the House Intelligence Committee, Congressman, I understand you have some insight, of course, to a lot of things happening inside Washington. When we're talking about these the hacking of these emails by the Russian intelligence groups, is this in fact Russia? Is it not Russia? Because President-elect Trump is saying one thing, some of our intelligence agencies are saying another. Can you help sort that out for us?
Yeah, you know, I was in Moscow last August, and when I came home, I did a number of interviews where I said, you know, Moscow is going to try to interfere with our electoral process. And that wasn't based on any specific intelligence briefing. It was just based on history and common sense. They've done it all through Europe. They've done it for a long time now, and of course they're going to try to do that here in the United States. The thing that's been reported that I can assure you is not true, and that is this this idea that they actually wanted to help Donald Trump and to hurt Hillary Clinton. That just, again, there just is no evidence that that's the case. And in fact, it seems quite contrary to logic to me. I mean, they've been rolling this administration for the last 8 years. They took advantage of the weakness of this administration, including the time that Secretary Clinton was the Secretary of State. Why would someone presume that they would prefer Donald Trump over Secretary Clinton? Donald Trump has said, we're going to put America's interests first. He said, we're going to rebuild our military. We're going to assert America's leadership in the world. Why would Russia think that's a good thing if you consider them an adversary? But I think this will be sorted over time, and I think when Mr. Trump gets more of the intelligence briefings that he'll have available to him once he's president, that he'll begin to see that, the American people will begin to see that Mr. Trump will be a stronger opposition to the chaos that Vladimir Putin has been trying to create throughout, you know, Eastern Europe particularly.
And I know I need to let you go, but just quickly, Congressman, but we have heard from President-elect Trump that he said, I know more about this issue, things that you don't know, and I'm going to share them with you either today, Tuesday, or tomorrow. When he says something like that, does that, as a person who's on the Intelligence Committee, does that make you nervous at all?
Well, you know, many of us on intelligence walk this fine line, and that is you want to share as much as you can with the American people. You'd like them to understand kind of why decisions are made or why things are said. But on the other hand, you can't reveal classified methods and means and individuals. I think Mr. Trump has that same challenge. He wants to reveal as much as he can, but I think he'll have to do it carefully, and I'm sure that he will.